Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey there, friend. Welcome back to Adrenaline, Realm's thriller channel. This is your host, Neil Helligers, and this is also False Idols Episode 19. Enjoy.
Back in her Garden City apartment building later that afternoon, Layla rode the elevator and wrestled with the lock to her door, opening the protective iron gate and then the main door as best she could with trembling hands. She was the closest she'd ever felt to being a total wreck. The bombing, the raid, and the way Pierce had treated her had her boiling over. Her hands shook as she poured a glass of water. She still had a film of ash on her skin from her foray into Coptic Cairo that morning, and she couldn't wait to wash it off, right after she washed the bad taste of the day out of her mouth. That acrid, metallic flavor hadn't left her. As she gulped a glass of water, her eyes drifted to the kitchen table. There was that damned bronze cat. A sticky note next to its foot read, in James's sloping handwriting, "Meow. Don't you love me? I don't want to be hidden away. Affectionately, the hideous cat." Behind the bronze cat was something covered with a kitchen towel. She peeled back the fabric. Freshly baked banana bread, still warm to the touch. She frowned. James had said he'd stay 2 minutes to get her past the neighbor's prying eyes without him, and then lock up the apartment. Clearly, he'd overstayed and made himself comfortable in her kitchen. That had not been the agreement. But then she caught a whiff of the bread. She inhaled deeply, and she smiled. Banana bread was one of the first foods she'd eaten when she came to Georgetown, and she'd marveled at it then. No one ate anything like that in Egypt. And yet James, evidently remembering her confession that she loved banana bread, had managed to make this from the ingredients in her kitchen and the bananas she'd splurged on at the market last week. Not only that, he'd tidied up her kitchen and put all the dishes away. The thoughtful gestures touched her. Cradling the banana bread in her arms, she glanced instinctively at the kitchen drawer where she'd put the FBI files about black market antiquities. Hopefully, James hadn't gone poking around too deeply for cooking supplies. Its presence would be one more tricky thing to explain. As would the Glock. She dashed to the bedroom and opened the nightstand drawer to check for it. There it was, safely tucked away in the box with the lavender eye pillow. Layla shut the drawer and sighed. The day that had begun so luxuriously in James's arms had turned dark and strange very fast. A text buzzed in. Damn, could she never have even one moment to catch her breath? She fumbled in her tote bag. It was Alberto. "Can you meet me at Zamalek rooftop at 3 tomorrow? I have information about Dashur." Dashur. That was the town near the illegal dig site Alberto had taken her to. What kind of information might he have discovered since their nocturnal trip there? She immediately thought of Khalid Yassin, the man she'd shot and wounded before she and Alberto had fled. Could he have figured out that she and Alberto were there observing the dig? She gripped the phone. Could Khalid Yassin somehow know that Layla had fired those bullets? No. She steadied her breath, focusing on reasonable, rational thoughts. Alberto would have wanted to see her immediately if that were the case. He wouldn't have made her wait an entire day to find out she was in some kind of danger. So what else could this information be? She was due to meet Pierce at the safe house early tomorrow afternoon. How good would it be to deliver some vital nugget of information from Alberto, some missing link in their chain of clues? I'll see you then, she typed. But can you give me a hint? Or any chance of meeting up earlier to talk? I'm in suspense here. After a pause, Alberto texted back. Sorry, no time. Can't meet earlier. I'm in Dashur now for research. Back in Cairo tomorrow. See you at 3. Pierce had an edgy, almost hyper energy about her at the safe house when Layla showed up the next day.
Red-eye flight, she explained, sensing her colleague's suspicious gaze. I haven't slept all night. But I have lots to report. Have a seat.
She gestured to the couch, and Layla sat down obediently. Whatever the reason for Pierce's unpredictable vibe today, she didn't like it.
The big news, she said, is that although Hausman and his team didn't find any more C4 bricks, they detected traces of other chemicals that match those used at the church bombing the other day. Not a lot, but a residue that might have leaked. Hausman thinks the Mukharib are using a new chemical compound for the IEDs that can be smuggled across borders in smaller quantities, and that tends to avoid detection of most traditional scanners.
Oh my God, said Layla. Any leads on Global Relics or their representative for that storage unit?
Not yet. I have a team continuing to comb through the books at Masterpiece, but their record-keeping is suspiciously lax.
Clearly Global Relics is a shell company, said Layla. I'm guessing Tremblay knew that full well when he signed them on and didn't ask too many questions.
Agreed, said Pierce. I'd put my money on Global Relics being a front for the Mukharib, but I aim to find the specific person who's authorizing shipments in and out of that unit.
We need to work fast, said Layla. Those two crates left the storage unit less than a week ago. They could arrive in DC any day.
Exactly, said Pierce. I'm making some inquiries. I'm on it.
She gave Layla a look as if to add, and you are not.
Monahan's covering things on the DC end, she elaborated. He and some DC agents will watch the laundromat and the quick check on Hamilton Street to await that delivery. And he's already had an agent talk to the owners of those businesses. They claim to know nothing about a shipment of art or antiquities on the way.
Well, someone's got to show up to intercept that delivery, said Layla.
I know. I trust Monahan knows what he's doing.
Pierce shrugged.
I also fingerprinted Unit 20 before I left, so hopefully that will reveal something if we get a match. And I've got someone obtaining access to the Cairo Police Department fingerprint database. It might be too much to hope for, that our terrorist representative is actually in that database, but I have to try.
Listening to the list of things Pierce was coordinating without her, Layla glared at the woman.
So what am I supposed to do right now?
Keep gathering evidence on our dealers and collectors, as you have been, said Pierce. Every detail will help to build a prosecutable case when the time comes. The more dirt we have on everyone involved, the better.
She sat on a swivel chair and spun around to face her laptop. She typed rapidly while continuing to talk to Layla.
Why don't you call your friend Jehan, wrangle an invitation to their Cairo house?
I thought we were done with Noor Kafar. Her name's in the double ledger. She bought a scarab amulet from Bennett, probably knowing it was the real deal, since he most likely gave her a receipt for a lower value than she paid.
I agree, but we're speculating here,
Pierce reminded her, still typing furiously.
We could use more proof. She might have more documents or objects connected to Bennett or to Masterpiece. I need to tighten the net around that whole business, she added, almost under her breath.
Layla bristled at the implication that Pierce was taking control. She'd also hoped that Alberto could be the one to look into Noor's purchases, so that she wouldn't have to get too close to Kamal Ghaffar. But Pierce gave her a look that seemed to demand immediate action. Layla pulled out her phone and texted Jehan. Hey there, just realized I still have a sweater I borrowed from you. I can bring it over, would love to catch up. The disconnect between her chirpy text and the seriousness of the situation struck her as she pocketed her phone. She had no doubt the Mujarib was still planning an attack on the United States, on the country that had given her all the opportunity that would have been denied her had she remained in Cairo. She'd taken the church bombing personally, but this hit even closer to home.
I really think I should do more, Layla said, pacing the living room. The person behind Global Relics and Unit 20 in the Singapore Freeport is the missing link. The connection between the Mujarib leaders and the smugglers who feed the relics to the dealers. You really want me stuck in Jehan's parents' house looking through desk files again? Aren't we past all that now?
Pierce stopped typing. She paused for a long time before she turned back around in the swivel chair and faced Layla.
Listen to me, she said, in the most serious tone Layla had ever heard her use. We're going to make a major move any day now, as the evidence surfaces. I have no time or tolerance for mistakes. I need your head in the game.
Layla gave her a curious look.
Right. I know I'll be ready for anything.
Really?
Pierce fixed her cool gaze on Layla.
You'll be ready, even if it's at midnight or 5 in the morning?
Layla blinked, wondering what Pierce was getting at.
Of course.
Even if you're in bed with James Rothkopf.
Layla froze. Pierce smiled, not in a friendly way.
How long did you think you could get away with that? Without my knowing?
I...
Pierce could be as intimidating as hell. And now Layla was caught in her headlights.
I know all about it,
Pierce said.
Nighttime adventures, intimate lunches.
Did she know? Or was she bluffing, getting Layla to confirm a suspicion?
I have an informant in your building, Pierce went on. She saw you going in with James last night. She's also seen the two of you there before.
The woman with the poodle, who was always hanging out by the elevator.
Shit!
Layla's mind then flashed to those two guys in the soccer jerseys who had followed her to the safe house shortly after she arrived in Cairo. Were they on Pierce's payroll too?
We were working on something related to the Rothkopf fundraiser, said Layla.
Don't lie to me,
Pierce snapped.
You know sleeping with a person of interest is against FBI rules.
She narrowed her eyes.
I can report you for this, you know. I can get you sanctioned, even fired.
Layla felt a surge of fear. No, not fear. Rage. She would not be threatened by Pierce like this. She'd worked too hard and come too far. She chose her next words carefully.
Actually,
she said, fighting to keep her voice steady and calm.
I know things, too, about you, in case you forgot.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Island in frigid Lake Superior. A fabricated creature birthed from the mind of a disturbed genius stalks the very people who created it. Ancestor, by number one New York Times bestselling author Scott Sigler, is a classic tale of science gone horribly wrong. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Pierce raised an eyebrow.
All right. You do. I'll grant you that. But don't think that gives you leverage.
She pointed a long finger at Layla, almost accusingly.
You haven't put in your time yet. I have. And I have friends higher up the agency ladder. Don't you forget that for a moment.
Layla feigned indifference, but rage continued to churn inside her. She hated this side of Pierce. This wasn't the person she'd come to Cairo with. This wasn't the mentor she'd thought would guide her into a high-profile career. She should just walk away right now, with James, hand in hand, into some New York sunset. Put this crazy life behind her and start anew. Then she pictured that boy, clawing through the dig rubble near Dashur, scavenging for relics, watched by armed men. The boy was a victim of this whole chain of crime, too. If she walked away from all this now, she'd never forgive herself.
We're clear, she said to Pierce. I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'll end it.
Layla had the taxi let her out two blocks from the Nile Zamalek Hotel, then ran all the way there to meet Alberto. In the elevator heading up to the bar, she removed her hijab and shook out her hair, heart thudding in her chest. She couldn't wait to find out what was so important that Alberto had wanted to see her in person before the Minister of Culture's reception next week. The corner table they'd sat at before was open. Alberto wasn't there yet. She claimed the table and ordered a cheese and tomato plate for two and a cold beer. As an afterthought, she ordered a whiskey for Alberto, since that's what he'd been drinking the last time they met there. She tried, for 5 minutes, to pretend she was normal, even a tourist. Though tourists were few and far between now with the summer heat lingering. 10 minutes passed. No Alberto. She ate the food, sipped her beer, and tried to follow the conversation of a group of Americans behind her. Their complaints about the scorching heat and the hustlers all over Giza soon turned to yesterday morning's church bombing.
Well, I for one won't come back to Egypt again, one woman declared, turning up the speed on her handheld electric fan. I've been to Giza, I can check it off the bucket list, and now I'm done. I don't feel safe here at all.
Her friends murmured agreement, and one woman said she was actively in the process of changing her flight and returning to D.C. a week early.
Targeting churches!
The woman with the handheld fan clucked her tongue.
What next? Shopping centers?
Hotels?
her husband chimed in.
Tourist bars?
They fell silent. Layla had never felt so divided. Lately, she had a new appreciation for the country of her birth, seeing it from angles she'd never experienced before. The Mugharib in no way represented Egypt. This is what she wished these American tourists would comprehend. Egypt was far too complex a tapestry. She loved her adopted country too, fiercely. She loved it so much that she had made it her life's work to protect it. The FBI for her wasn't just professional, it was deeply personal. So this meeting with Alberto, whose untouched whiskey she was now sipping, whose portion of cheese and tomatoes she was devouring, was vital for the investigation and her role in it. She pictured herself triumphantly presenting a street address, a phone number to Pierce, redeeming herself. Where was Alberto anyway? She checked her watch. 45 minutes had passed. She'd sent him 2 texts since arriving, and he hadn't replied. Hopefully he was just tied up with some new lead. That was the nice thing about Alberto. If he was going to stand her up or be silent, she trusted it was for some good reason. Her phone buzzed in her bag. Her personal phone, the Motorola. Alberto couldn't possibly be calling that number. Nor could James. She didn't recognize the number on display, but the city code was Cairo. "Allô?" she said cautiously. In response, she heard wailing. She instinctively moved the phone away from her ear. The Americans behind her, noticing, looked at her curiously. "Sana?" Layla guessed, when the wailing had subsided into breathy sobs. That was her sister's cry, which she remembered well from childhood. Sana had cried so frequently as a child, and comforting her had been Layla's job for some reason. She was the one person who could calm her sister down back then. She wasn't sure if she could do so now. "What's wrong?" she asked in Arabic, when Shana's breathing sounded slightly calmer. "Is it Badru?"
"Badru is fine, alhamdulillah," Shana replied. "But I have been calling the American embassy for an hour to reach you. They did not know your name, they did not know who I was talking about. Finally, I found this number and your name on it in a scrap of paper in Rami's jacket. I need your help. The jailers will not let me speak with him."
"Jailers?" Layla's heart thudded. "What's going on? Is Rami in jail?" Even though she was speaking in Arabic, her tone must have conveyed her frantic state. The American tourists were now listening and watching intently, sharing knowing looks, as if Layla's reactions just confirmed their deepest convictions. Egypt was a wild and dangerous place. Shana began to wail again. Stepping away from the tables so the Americans couldn't hear, Layla leaned over the railing where the breeze could mask her words.
"Just give me the facts, and I'll figure out what to do." "There is a professor at Rami's university who has been speaking out against the heavy government presence on campus in support of Farid Mansour,"
Sana explained between shuddery breaths.
"He was fired yesterday. So the student leaders, including Rami, organized a march to protest this firing. Police came with weapons and tear gas. Fights broke out. Rami was injured. He was taken into custody before he could get medical help and..."
Layla cut her off. "He's injured. Is it bad?"
"I only know some of the details. Maybe a broken arm. Also a head injury. Some bleeding from the head. A friend of Rami's escaped and called me to let me know all of this. Please, Layla, you have to help him. You have to get him out of there. You work for the U.S. Embassy as a secretary, yes? You must be able to do something for him."
"Of course," said Layla, not bothering to correct her sister's erroneous memory of the position Layla supposedly held. She worked in the comptroller's office for the State Department, according to the lie she'd spun for her family.
But what point was there in correcting a misperception with an outright lie? I'll do everything I can. Tell me which jail he's in.
False Idols is written by Lisa Klink, Patrick Lawyer, and Diana Wren. Performed by Lauren Ezzo. Produced by Amanda Rose Smith. FBI advisor Robert K. Whitman. Theme music by Amanda Rose Smith. You're listening to Adrenaline False Idols, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Adrenaline is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Hosted by Neil Heligers. Audio editing by Corey Barton. Original theme by Marcus Bagala. Original cover art by Kendall Thomas.
Find more shows like this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.